meeting. I'm not looking for numbers. I'm not looking for quantity. I'm looking for quality. And so if they're interested in the ministry, I might do something about that because I need them to be online at the point when I'm teaching, when the instructors are teaching, instead of coming on when they get ready. They'll never produce any discipline like that. How many? Uh-huh. How many are supposed to have on? Find that out.
Yes, sir.
They'll never create any discipline in your life if you don't have to do something. Mm-hmm. It's a must. There's a lot of things in the spirit realm is a must. And if you don't develop that I must do this, you'll always be complacent in spiritual things. Are you following me? You know, Jesus said you must be born again. You know, and that's a lot of other, as the spirit that come up in my heart, there's a lot of must, M-U-S-T, things that has to be done for to properly grow in the spirit. When you're looking for an alternative of action, you're not ready for to operate in the spirit realm. There's a compelling factor in a call, in a commission.
Yes, sir.
There's a willingness to go further than the other fellow. You know, when you see the reality of the real work of Christ, and then there's a power that work on the inside of you. The Bible talks about God at work in you to do His will and of His good pleasure. The key word to all of this, you may be seated, the key word to all of this is yielding. Knowing how to yield. This is not based on how smart you are, but it's based on how willingly you have permitted the Holy Spirit to bring you to the point of yielding. So again, we're not talking about quantity. We're talking about quality. It's very important. That's what he's looking for. That's what he's looking for. You know, the Holy Spirit will not force you to follow him. But if you ever find out that you're willing to follow him, he will leave a trail for you to see that the average man or woman has never seen. Remember, it's personal. Ministry is personal. Where you at, son? Oh, this ain't gonna happen no more. I want a letter written to all students. Tell them I want them online if they are capable of being online, and I want somewhere to record and report for them to check in.
Yes, sir.
After tonight. It's so important. Now, permit me as an intoxicated apostle. I've been drunk since I've been called in the apostleship, and there's so much that we need to know to just barely catch up. Okay, so one of the things I want to do now is for you to think about it for a moment. Any question you may have from any class on any subject or any circumstance that you have, I want you to think about it right now. And I want you to know you're able to ask that question in a few minutes. Okay. Any question, any class, any subject. Now, you know I have to trust on the Holy Spirit for this, to open it up like this. But if there is something, I want you to be willing to ask it, something you don't understand. Say, for instance, Acts 3:19. Turn there a minute. Acts 3:19. So in my classes, it's going to be apostolic, so I won't have no set pattern. I tell you the truth, I can't do it. I got good outlines. I'm gonna teach you some things tonight. But look at Acts 3:19, because I want you to look at this. And if your prayers are not being answered as you desire, or if revelation is not flowing like it should flow, if you're not receiving like you should receive, that first word is your problem. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And the reason that first word is your problem, there's another substitute that has no substance. It's a thing called remorse. Write it down. Remorse is not repentance. Remorse is a substitute for repentance. Repentance is an inner change on the inside. Repentance is a decision that you make by the prompting of the Holy Spirit that you are changing a situation. Remorse has been a substitute, so remorse will come, you'll feel sorry, you'll cry, you'll confess to three or four people, but you really don't have that inner change. You really haven't come to repentance. So you're not fully restored. Yes, sir. So the enemy will substitute a sorrow for true repentance. Wow. Wow. And then when that repentance is not there, he said, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. You won't be able to reach that refreshing. So there's probably thousands of Christians who have been remorseful of shortcoming, but have not repent. And Satan know they haven't repent because he know they're going to do it again. And so it's very important that you understand that. Now, you got any questions before I start? Get started. Any question about any of the classes that my sons or daughter are teaching? Any question that you have personally? Let's take care of it tonight. I'm going to seem good to the Holy Ghost. About ministry. Well, you taught well. You ain't got no question. You taught well. All right, son. Go ahead, Gus.
The question is, it is possible to fall away even if you realize the truth.
Is it possible to fall away? Yeah, you see, you realize the truth. It's possible to fall away if you want to fall away. See, it's a partnership. It's you and God. And you have to make decision the rest of your life that I'm going to stick with it. If not, God will let you turn and walk away. So it's possible to fall away.
Mm-hmm. Well, our answer on the test was it's false.
Beg your pardon?
The answer was false.
The answer was false. What it's supposed to be? What the answer was supposed to be? What you said?
No, you was explaining it as true. It is possible to fall away even if you realize the truth.
All right. So what your question is on the test?
Yeah, the answer on the test was false.
It said that you can't fall away? I see somebody nodding their head. The answer said you can't fall away? No, you always have a choice. I don't care what the answer said. You always have a choice. You're just going to eat that one up. But you always have a choice. You're just going to eat that one, that's all. I got an answer, you know what I'm saying? You always, they don't care what the book say, you always have a choice. I want you to be aware of that fact the Bible talks about tasting the good word of God in Hebrews chapter 6, and I know that's what y'all were dealing with, and taste the good word of God. But if you decide to walk away, see, it's always have to be, the Lord will not make it robotical. It's always... The Holy Spirit won't force you to stay on the journey. Yes, sir. It's a decision. So you're just going to have to let us have that one. Okay? Any other question? I mean, that's all to it. All right, young lady. It's another question that's wrong and y'all got an answer to it?
No, sir.
That's all right.
When we were learning about covenant and like fellowship with our sisters and brothers and stuff, and they kind of brought to our attention that like when we're in covenant, we don't have to worry about being misused by our sisters and brothers. And it kind of just brought being more forgiving and things like that. But it's just something I wrestle with because I know we're supposed to be forgiving and we shouldn't have to be worried, like, oh, this person's going to use me and stuff. But I've just seen, like, so many good, my sisters and brothers in Christ being used by people because they're like, oh, we know you're a Christian. And so it confuses me because I know we're not supposed to be stupid. We, like, you know, I know this person doesn't have my best interest at heart, or they've used me in the past, but, you know, they say, oh, I'm sorry, and then you let them back into your life, and then they do it again, and then they're like, oh, I'm sorry, we're just supposed to forgive them. I know it, we're supposed to have some sort of accountability to it, but I'm not understanding the area where you let the person back into your fellowship with them, but I guess you're supposed to keep them at a distance because they have a history of, you know, not being like forthcoming or being conniving or whatever the person's shortcoming is. I know it's a shortcoming. I know maybe it's something that they're wrestling with, but I guess my question is, as a sister or a brother in Christ, what's our responsibility to our other brothers in Christ? Like, are we just supposed to let their shortcomings like affect us, or are we supposed to keep them at arm's length? Because I want to love them, but I also want to protect myself.
Mm-hmm. Good question. Hebrews 4:12 answered that. Look at Hebrews 4:12. A Christian must have discernment. You must be able to see in the spirit realm, see the motive of a person. There's a lot of Christian connivers. And until they learn the lesson, you need to be able to discern how far I'm going to go with this. And don't let brotherly love make you a weakling. That is not what God is talking about. If a person do not want to straighten out and do what's right, you can pray for them, but don't let them be a prey, P-R-E-Y, on you. Now, some will condemn you with that because they say we're in covenant. Yes, we're in covenant, but you have messed up four times. I've told you that I'm not going to be, you got my money, I've loaned you money, and you haven't paid back, now you're back here again, or any other type of sin. Just keep doing it over and over again. You pray for that person. Sometimes that person needs to be cut loose so they can learn themselves. I've dealt with things like that here at this church, and I dealt with it real strong. And so the covenant with sisters and brothers in Christ, but you answered yourself, we're not stupid. So the Bible says forgive them. I could forgive you, but I don't have to have man fellowship with you if you keep doing this foolishness. And so that's very important. I think it's a good question. I think it needs to be known by ministers. I think in my lifetime, I've gone through some foolishness I shouldn't have gone through with trying to help somebody who was not trying to help themselves. And sometimes we get caught up in this thing about not knowing tough love. Tough love will cut a person loose so they can learn a lesson and still pray for them. Mm-hmm. I could forgive you, but I don't have to fellowship with you because I know you. I can't close one of my eyes with you because you might do anything. And you've done it over and over again. And sometimes you're not dealing with genuine Christian. There's so many people join the church who are not saved. That happened, you know. You got people in the church that are not saved. People at the church, at the building, but they're not saved because they have not accepted Jesus Christ. I talked to a man this afternoon. I said, sir, I see you talk English. He said, yes. You know anything about the blood of Jesus? He said, no. I said, you're saved? Yeah. You in church? Yeah. You don't know nothing about the blood of Jesus. And so you meet all kind of people. That answer your question? Yeah, so you don't have to put up with that. No, don't let them. People come to me with that. I say, no, don't put up with that over and over again. You're better off praying for them because they're going to make you lose up because you still got flesh, you know. Amen. Any more? You're not going to get this often. I'm just doing it now because I felt impressed by the Holy Ghost. And I think both of the questions was good questions. Practically, you answered them yourself. All right. You need to have, I studied upon this, and this is so important. I really don't, there's 12 steps to maturing in ministry. And then there are 7 pictures of the church I want to go over. Let's start with the 7 pictures of the church. The first picture is the assembly. The assembly. And if you would look at Ephesians 1:22, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, the assembly. That's the first picture I'm going to tell you about. And have put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head of all things to the church. Ephesians 1:22 now. Within the assembly, there is a term that I want to repeat and repeat to you. I've said it already, but it's so important. Governmental authority. Matthew 18:18. Governmental authority. You're going to have to notice as a minister that there is a spiritual governmental authority that cannot be overruled. It is the highest power, the highest government that exists. Now, some people think they're running the show, but they're not. No, because if you can get 10 grand of salt, you'd have salted the earth. I go by what Abraham got down to 10 people. You can get 10 grand of salt can run a whole country. 10 salty Christians. Got more power than the whole nation. You understand that? That's almost a ratio. Because you can go down to 2. Then they say a 3-fold card is not what? That's power, man. That's powerful. So here, this governmental authority here in Matthew 18:18, very, 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 I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Go to the next verse. Again, I say unto you that if 2 of you shall agree on earth as touching what? Anything that you ask or make a demand, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. The Father has no respect for another power that try to come against him. Go to the next verse. 20th verse. Now we'll look at 24. For where 2 or 3 are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. That's over. So this governmental authority you have, personally, ministry-wise, know it's there. Never think you're losing. No. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12. Now we go to a respect of God's order. The Bible talks about let everything be done decently and in order. There's a divine order that is above every other order. Here in 1 Thessalonians, you getting the scripture down? 5 and 12, it says, and we beseech you, brethren, to know that them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, go to the next verse, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. See, that's the assembly. The assembly has the respect for God's order. God has a divine order. You know, you talk about the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, even the divine order, overseer, the pastor. You have to have respect for God's order in order for it to function in your life. Yes, sir. Now, one of Satan's main game is to bring division in the church. And he has set it up for many years of a war between leaders. Yes, sir. Men who were supposed to be assisting the pastor became the greatest bastard spirit that you ever can lay your eyes on. They began to fight him. And so therefore the visionary could not get the vision across because it's not even the people, is those deacons have had the people confused for so long as if they're running the church with a motion and a second. Really, nowhere in the Bible you can find a motion and a second. There's no second emotion. It's one motion. Thus saith the Lord. So, those two verses bring us into when you respect for God's order, all the anointing, all the grace, all the meekness, all the blessing, the vision, everything begin to come on you and your house. That's so important because we have a tendency to want, my God, I feel the Holy Ghost, to respect God without respecting his order. That's impossible. See, Marion, she really was hot because Moses married a black woman. But she come up with her complaining, and it wouldn't be for Moses, she won't get wiped out. And so I don't think people will find this out automatically because that's one of the devil's weapons. So we as ministers have to teach them. And you can start right now in the place where you are now. This next statement under the assembly, we talk about governmental authority. I want you to understand that. That's the highest authority. Respect for God order, because now you're stepping into governmental authority when an overseer is over you and declare what does say the Lord. So that government won't work for you. God's government won't work for you if you don't respect his government. All right, now, this next statement will help you in the years to come, no matter what you come up against or what you're dealing with. Zion, which is another term for the church, rules now. And I remember reading a book on the courts of heaven, and in Hebrews 12, 22, 24 is three of the most powerful scriptures you're ever going to read. Hebrews 12, verse 22. the courts of heaven, that's the higher courts. The Supreme Court thing is the highest. Thank God for them, but they're not. They can be overruled. If a person have a revelation of righteousness, and doing the right thing, and go to God, and that innumerable company of angels, the blood, the sprinkling blood that speaketh better things than Abel, Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, got Zion in there, got New Jerusalem, got God, the judge of all, powerful voices. They used the story, I forgot what, I think it's Luke 18, that story, where this woman went to this unjust judge. If you notice, she never talked to her enemy. No, she just talked to the judge. And so every case, listen to me, every case since I've learned or come to grip with this revelation, every person who follow my instruction, no matter what it is, I turn them to that case, to that court of heaven, they won. I mean from judgment that a man who had been fired off his job wrong, all the legality was against him. I told him and his family to take it to this court because he was done wrong. Hearing the explanation, he came out with a large amount. Any family in trouble? I have a family in trouble now. My only recommendation to them now is Hebrews 4:16. Write it down. Hebrews 4:16 and these verses here in Hebrews 12:22-24. There's a time you may not have, how can I say this? Enough evidence for freedom. So you take it out of the hand of evidence and put it in the hand of grace. And mercy, Lord, I'm asking you for grace. I don't know, Lord, if I even deserve this. I don't, you know, things that went wrong, but I just need you to be graceful to me this time. Be merciful to me. You know what I'm saying? And he'll do it for you. See, higher court is Zion rule now, but Zion as you go to school, as you learn it as a student, need instruments that know that Zion rule. If you meditate these verses, I just need to go over them, but come unto Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. Now, you know what he said about angels, right? Are not they all ministering spirit?
Yes, sir.
To minister to or what? For the half of salvation.
Yes, sir.
See, you notice that?
Yes, sir.
They're the minister for us. All right, go to the next verse. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirit of just men made perfect. You notice I was quoting a lot of that? Huh? That means I've been feeding. Uh-huh. And Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, that's the cross, that's grace. Now, remember this. There's nothing grace can't displace, and there's nothing that grace can't replace. Now, all this is new to me. I'm hearing it now, you see. It's not on the paper. I heard the Holy Ghost say that. See, there's nothing that grace can't deal with, and that there's nothing that grace can't bring you back to it. That's powerful, boy. Yeah, see, but grace bring you to a place that something was divinely paid for by unquenchable blood, undeniable. See, it's a ransom.
Yes, sir.
See. So, as a believer, there's another word here that Zion rule now. I hear the Spirit saying Zion can overrule any set of laws, any mistake. Thank God for that, because, you know, we make mistakes. But we're serving a God that have nobody over him. So I want you to write two words down. I want you to remember: sovereign and supernatural. Lord, baby, that's your baby there. Sovereign. The God I serve is a sovereign God. He has to answer to nobody. And he's supernatural. He can change anything. Matter of fact, at this point, you need to take impossibility and impossible out your vocabulary. That word won't weigh right with God. And I don't care what tight a spot you in. You know, you're facing the Hebrew boys' fire, you're facing Goliath, you're facing the lion den, you locked in the Philippian jail, you're in jail and the church in prayer for you and the doors open automatically. That's not normal. Four quarters of soldiers are watching you and they don't even know when you left. You know, it's just supernatural. And we have to come back to the sovereign God. Sovereign means he answers to no one. I guess the best description of God, 1 Chronicles 29, 11 and 12, I think. It gives him majesty, and he's the God of victory. He owned heaven. He owned the kingdom. He owned earth. Turn there, 1 Chronicles. Turn there. Yeah, thine, O Lord, is the greatness. There he is, greatness. And the power, and the glory, and the victory, and the majesty. What else? All that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. What a powerful scripture. I love that scripture. But that letting you know that he rules. Psalm 110, verses 1 and 2, is telling us that we should rule in the midst of our enemy. He said, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy enemy thy footstool. Look what the next verse said. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. That is, rule thou in the midst of thine enemy. That is so powerful. And you need to have that voice available if you're going to do any type of ministry. So the courts of heaven can overrule anything and anybody. Ministers should know that. Ministers are going to have people come to you helpless, have done wrong, but need mercy and need grace. I got a case right now, need mercy and grace. Well, as soon as that case was given to me, I said, I look at Montrell. I said, that's Hebrews 4:16. See, let's go ask for some grace and mercy. And so God can change some people's heart. This is not manipulation, this is revelation. you know this belong to you. God can change anything. And you come to grip with that. You come to grip with that, you're going to live a peaceful life. You'll learn where you can trust God. He's a good God. So government, we're talking about the assembly now. We're just on the first one. Governmental authority, respect for God order, Zion rules now. And then 110:1-2, you talk about the rod and the scepter. The scepter there in Hebrews chapter 1, the scepter of righteousness is a powerful thing. Then you're ruling by prayer, intercession, fasting, proclamation, and our committed lifestyle. Don't forget that. You got to have a committed lifestyle. That's how Hezekiah was able to get a 15-year extension. I always say, I don't know if he died after the 15 years, because if he knew how to get it then, he can get it again. Yeah. But he reminded God that he had served him. Right. Yes, sir. Now, I've used that before, ministering to some of my members. I said, ask God for an extension. Read this over and over again. Okay? So, that's four powerful things. The governmental authority, the respect for God's order, Zion rules now, and I can stay on that all night. And Psalm 110:1-2, I didn't even know that was in my notes. It came up in my spirit. But the rod and the scepter, and I remember when I talked about that, I also talked about in the 23rd Psalm, I think, the staff. Staff. All right. And then the second picture of the church is the body of Christ. Ephesians 1:23, the body of Christ. It's powerful, man. What is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. The church. Not the building, the church. Look at the body. The first point you want to put down is the body, all right? Under that, the body of Christ, and you put the body. You got Ephesians 1:23. 1 Corinthians 12:13 in the NIV Bible. 1 Corinthians 12:13 in the NIV. If you can put that up for me, do that for me. For we were all baptized by one spirit so as to form one body, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free, we were all given the one spirit to drink. So quickly we understand the body of Christ is a spiritual body. It is a body, I always like to say this, it's a body that has authority in three worlds, heaven, hell, and earth. And as we operate in the spirit, we can function in a different dimension, a different realm. People are so concerned when they become preachers about outline, they can't even hear God. And God have begun to work with me strongly about that. He want to say something that I can't write. In the body of Christ, in 2 Corinthians, get this, 5:18, God first brings us to himself. I think, give me the 17th verse, but it'll make it more alive, because I want to say something about your life. Go to 2 Corinthians 5:17, all right, and then I'll read in a minute. Hold it right there. What I'm about to say is your life is divine. Your life is eternal. Your life is righteous. And your life is abundant. All these aspects of life belong to you. They have to be claimed. Sometimes they have to be taken by force. But I'll say an old saying, you got the power. Yeah. You have to know you have the power. Because you took the impossible out of your life, right? So everything possible. You have to know that. One of the problems, listen, class, listen real good now. One of the problems is we are trying to do with the Logos only what you can do with the Rhema. Yes, now, the Logos is a written and a spoken word, because holy men, as they're moved by the Holy Ghost, they speak. But the difference is the Rhema word is a specific, personal word to you for a given situation. You didn't hear me.
Yes, sir.
See, why are you, for lack of a better word, dancing in the Logos? That Logos are turning into a Rhema. Once it turned into a Rhema, you move through categories of faith. So then faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God does not come by a Logos. Logos, it comes by a Rhema. It's a John 6:63 word. It's personal. It's spoken to you. Off the page, personified for you, it come alive in you. So you see, my brothers and sisters, prayers and confessions are good, and it's right, and it's the word, but we can't get technical with this. We have to have a revelation. We have to spend time with God to know exactly what God is saying. And all of a sudden now, his word is written on your heart. It become your own word. Now, the next time you speak it, you are now in total agreement with God on his level. God's word brings you on his level. Your image and your likeness begin to come out of you. That Rhema word is totally locked in with the Holy Ghost. So people pray, people confess. Now, confession is this. Listen. Confession can't be from memorization. It has to be from meditation, revelation, Rhema. Are y'all with me, Glenn? See, you meditate that word and the revelation come, and then the Rhema can get to you. when the rhema arrive, it's over. Because now, when you come to a rhema word, you're in Isaiah 55:8-11. Your thoughts become God's thoughts. Your ways become God's way. Your mouth become God's mouth. And you speak a sure word, a word that's not going to return to you void. It's going to accomplish and prosper where and there you send it. That's a rhema word. Now listen, class, I want to play with you a little bit tonight. All these years we've been teaching on Mark 11:22-24. Have faith in God. Jesus cursed that fig tree? Yes. Jesus didn't curse that fig tree about with Romans 10:17 faith. Yeah. So only faith come by hearing. Jesus didn't calm the storm out there when he spoke. He didn't do that by Romans 10:17 faith. Yeah. I'm about to show you some things now. No, Jesus was always available for all aspects of faith, and there's one in 1 Corinthians 12, the 9 gifts of the Spirit, the gift of faith, which is the ability of God.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yeah.
So Jesus was so open. We are not open because we're so busy with Romans 10:17 faith, the faith we should live by.
Yeah.
Then there also, class, is in Galatians 5:22, we talk about the fruit of the Spirit. There's the fruit of faith, which when you got a crop of fruit on you from that fruit of faith, your trust in God's trustworthiness puts you in another vein.
Yes, sir.
You know you can't fail. You got fruit growing on your faith. Now, all of us in class, you can see why we missed something. And why Jesus' life was so astonishing, the way he operated in faith. And then I go on, you know. You pray in tongue, you're building on a holy faith. 2 Corinthians 4:13, the spirit of faith. See? So the life of faith consists more. And let me say it to you again. Just because you read a Bible scripture and memorized a verse don't mean you got faith. You got to sit down with the Lord, spend some time until the Lord come out that scripture. I got to talking about months back about the inner scripture, the inside of the scripture. Most people dealing with the outer shell of the scripture. The Bible said, search the scripture, for in them you think you have life. But they testify of me, and you have, I'm going to say it this way, and you have chosen the scripture over me. You won't come to me. So you think you can take the scripture and do what you want to do with it because it's scripture, but the scripture on it telling you about me. In other words, I have to come out the scripture before anything going to be done. That's why I said, in the beginning, the word was flesh. See, so meditation opens the door for a divine visitation. That place you in a place beyond Sunday school. You rule not by what you see, feel, or hear.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
You rule because there's a certainty, there's a knowing in your heart that God got this.
Yes, sir.
And you don't stay praying all the time, you begin to praise him and thank him for it. So what happened then, many times with scriptures, Satan have offered us a substitute for faith. He don't want us to know, as we study in the word and we're dealing with something, that the gift of faith can jump out that scripture at any time and wrap that demon up in a wind he can't handle. We as ministers have to know this. We have people coming there with certain things. They have to know. Take time and meditate. Don't take no passage scripture and run with them. Go to the court of heaven. We just left the court of heaven, right? Yes, go to the court of heaven. Sit in that court. Talk to the judge. He said, seek me, you'll find me. The supernatural, the sovereignty of God, the supernaturalness of God, we need to understand that belonged to us. So don't take a bunch of financial scripture, a bunch of healing scriptures, and run off with them. Sit down with them and let God talk to you. You probably got nine. You probably don't need no more than a half of one. You follow what I'm saying? This is where, because I can't understand, and I'm going to go there and I'm going to get off this because I'll get lost in here. I'm going to try to talk about it in Alabama or something, but I can't understand how Abraham had so much in the New Testament church pooling money together. Even though the church was in her infancy, but we're not in infancy no longer. We've been 2,000 years. Some of that wealth that was, Isaac was such a bad boy that they asked him to leave. They told him, you got too much. And why are we down here struggling, trying to get ends to meet? So I think there's a remnant of people that are going to shift that wealth from the Old Testament, double or triple in the New Testament. I think before Jesus come back, there'll be some wealthy Christian. Christian who got God's purpose in their heart. Gonna live big. I believe it. I believe it. Because God said, I'm the Lord. What he said? I change not. So you think God didn't change his mind about his children being rich? No. That's why Jesus died. But let me get away from this. But what we need to do is meditate. Joshua 1:8 will make you rich. No doubt about it. Psalm 1:1-3. When I was a teenager, they had a hair stuff you put on your hair. They said, one dab will do you. No, you can't be dabbing in this. You got to take time. You got to get all the unconsciousness out of you. All your family members who was unconscious died in the Lord broke. They died unconscious of the wealth and the prosperity. Second Corinthians 5:17. Lord have mercy. Do you realize what's happening to you? You sitting here looking at me like that. You know what the Lord is saying to you? Huh? Do you know the growth and the development you could have at this hour? You can change everything, your career, your family. You know how to go to the court of heaven. You know government. You know how to respect those who are over you, would bring a blessing to you automatically. Yes, sir. I tell people, don't pay to be wrong if you're not going to do it right. You know, I got on my cook. I got another girl that helped me. I said, listen, don't ruin this girl. I'm supposed to have snacks between meals. I ain't got to ask for them. I'm sitting on the porch where I'm at. Bring me some tea. I ain't got to ask for no tea. Just set it there. If I don't want it, throw it away. But do it. I don't need you. I don't need to keep repeating something to you over and over again. I don't need you here to vex me. I need you moving with the flow so I can get you blessed. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Powerful man. Yes, sir. Powerful. So therefore, if any man be in Christ, a new creature, old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. Now, you remember the things I told you? Righteousness. You remember what I told you, class? All right, now let's go to the next verse. It says, verse 18, all things of God. But you to quote that verse, don't go to this one. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away, and all things become new. We jump and shouting around. Look what he said. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and have given us the ministry of reconciliation. You know what the ministry of reconciliation means? I'm back in the Garden of Eden. I'm back in Genesis 1:26. I'm back in the image and likeness of God to have dominion and take authority over everything. Give me Genesis 1:26. Let me see what it says. Oh. And God said, let us make man our image and after our likeness. Now, Eve lost her position for something she already had. You heard me?
Yes, sir.
She already had what he said. She already had his image and his likeness and his authority.
Yes, sir.
But Satan have a way to twist words. But he was in another garden and tried it on another fellow. He didn't fall for it. He began to offer Jesus what Jesus already had. Now, here's another scripture. Hold that scripture right there, but let me give you another scripture now. Remember Jesus says in Matthew 4:4, and man should not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That word, I had an experience with that word proceeds the other day when I was meditating somewhere, I was sitting somewhere. Proceeds mean God always got a fresh word coming out of his mouth for me. God always got a fresh word coming out of his mouth for me that gonna work supernaturally and sovereignly and quickly. Always. You know why he always got a fresh word for me? Because I'm always expecting a fresh word. And I'll spend enough time for him to get him and let it come out, but it's proceeded. You know, when you speak a word that came out of God's mouth to you, not a scripture. See, he'll come through a scripture, but he resurrect that scripture in your heart, in your mind, your situation. Whew. He breathed on it. He make it fresh. It just come out the oven. My DNA is on this scripture. When that happened, it's as if I'm hearing this. The first time God speaking that scripture, it's so fresh. The hot light on. You know the hot light, the hot light on. Oh, you don't talk about Krispy Kreme. The hot light on. They're hot. It's hot. You're not gonna catch nothing cut off an hour ago. See, you need the hot light on. You sat there with that word. Oh my God. You sat there with that word till the hot light come on. When that hot light come on, you're gonna have fresh, crispy revelation. I love it, man. You love it? Yeah, you never forget that because you don't forget the hot light. The hot light on. And you get up, you and your family dealing something up, you get up and you tell your family, say, the hot light on. That means baby's fresh out the oven and no, it don't belong to nobody else but me. See? When I used to eat those hot donuts, I would get 2 dozen and cold milk, and I'd sit there and eat 6 for the car move. Because I didn't want them to get cold. Same way with the word. Get it hot, go in the box. Don't go messing around talking about go talk to nobody else. Go in the box, baby. It's time to eat right now. I love it, Lord. Holy Ghost, you got a sense of humor. That's no clarity. You'll never forget that. You'll never forget you're dealing with something or you're helping somebody. You know, you say, I need the light to come on. The hot light. Hot light means it's a special wood. It's just cooked for you. My God. My God. I don't know where I was, but let's take another one. We talk about the body. We're talking about the body of Christ. I'm just on number two, the body of Christ. We talk about God first bring us to himself. You see, all right, I see it, so Holy Spirit. When you're dealing with something, you first must go to God.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
You can't go to the situation.
No, sir.
He first draw you to himself, because when he draw you to himself, his ability become available to you at that moment. Then his strategy, his wisdom, his understanding, all become available to you at that moment. So he'll give you short phrases that don't make no sense to your thinking. But because you trust him, you eat it. And you get results you can't explain. You follow me?
Yes, sir.
See, to lead people, you're not going to ever be perfect, but you ought to have traces of success that a person can see every now and then. And so therefore, that's why God didn't let us be robots. That's why God don't let ministers. You know, I came with my eye red, dark glasses on. He attacked me. But you can't stop.
Yes, sir.
So sometimes people see, so my man of God, he going on.
Yes, sir.
So you shouldn't, when you meet one of your sisters or brothers, you're dealing with something, you shouldn't ask, oh God, what happened? What is this? What? Just shut your mouth,
yes,
and pray. Nobody don't need to be rehearsing the mess they're going through with you. You ought to know better. Wonder what happened to her. Wonder what happened to him. It's just a battle. You understand? So be courteous to people. Don't ask people, why are your eyes swollen? You know, it should be two swollen eyes after you ask that. Want me to rehearse this mess? All right, Luke chapter 18, verse 22. Leave all and follow him. Now, people have, now when Jesus heard those things, he said unto him, you lack, yet lackest thou one thing, sell all that thou hast and distribute to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven. Come and follow me. That's a satanic problem. People have a tendency to don't want to sell out. I was talking to one of my sons today. I was explaining to him 43 years ago, I sold out. The day I got saved, I sold out. I didn't know all what I was selling, but I kept reading and kept studying, and I'm still doing it. You have to sell out. You have to leave all and follow him. When Peter and them saw in the 5th chapter of Luke, they left all. They followed him. And that's what you have to do to really be a bona fide member of the body of Christ. And then Colossians 2:19 under the body of Christ. You be the share. The body, I give you 1 Corinthians 12:13. God first bring us to himself, leave all and follow him. And this one here is in Colossians 2:19, and not holding the head from which all the body, and not holding the head from which all the body by joint and band, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God. That's powerful. Total commitment by three things, I'm gonna tell you. Total commitment by three things. By obedience, by submission and by availability. Let me go backwards. You must always be available, young man. Always available. Don't tell God nothing about your appointment. Huh? No anniversary. Don't tell God about no anniversary. God don't want to know about no anniversary. We had to deal with a man. He can keep talking about his anniversary. We got business to take care of. Boy, y'all can go to Hawaii, but later on. We got business to take care of here. You can't, man got a man, you can't go get no car, nothing done on no car when the work going on. How you got the car? Where the car come from? You see what I'm saying? Availability. Are you available to God at all times? You can locate yourself. Commitment. Total commitment consists of those three things: obedience, submission, and availability. You will never do that on your own. We're too busy to do that on your own. And got too much other things bought in for your time to do that on your own. You need the Holy Spirit to help you do this. So we're back to the other word now. What is it? That is. You heard what he said? Say it again, Pastor.
Yield.
See, you got to yield. Yield. That's why you can't let no family member, no friend, and nobody else be too tight with you. You know, my puzzling voice for many years, I don't even remember. I believe it's Matthew 10:37, I believe it is. I'm not sure if that is. Jesus said, I'm reading, I'm a young Baptist boy, former Catholic boy, wasn't saying Baptist boy said, I'll get to this part in the Bible. Jesus said, thank not I come to say peace. Eat a prince of peace. I didn't understand it. I'm about it by myself. I'm not baptized with the Holy Ghost. I got the Spirit of God. I come to send a soul. Then he talking about separating mama from, I said, Lord God, you almost playing a dozen here, yeah, daughter, and family members, you know. But now I understand what he was saying. I will not ever accept second place in your life.
Yes, sir.
And one of the first battles you're going to have, if you become real, I said, if you become real, and if you're not there yet, what I'm about to say, you ain't real. When you become real, family members turn on you. Because they'll try to tell you about the old-time religion. I ain't got no time for no old-time religion. I want revelation. So that is the body of Christ. I love it. Total commitment by obedience, submission, and availability. Now, let me give you a word of warning here. Not to people. People will take your life over. You have to discern who you're supposed to help and who you're not supposed to help. Because you come running to me, I'll pray for you. But who's your shepherd? Who you submitted to? What ministry you committed to? I ain't got time to be counseling you and your family. You ain't got no covering. When I was younger, stupid, I would try to help them. But now I pray a short prayer and send them to the elder. Well, watch this. He's so stupid. He don't know. He don't know what to do. What you doing up in there? You know, Reb don't understand this. Why you on the Reb?
That's right.
And come here and take me from my family.
Yeah.
That's what I learned fast, many years ago.
Yes, sir.
Who's your shepherd? Who you under? Who's your covering? That's your problem. You ain't got no cover. Well, I go down there, but I don't, you know, I don't pay them all they want to do. Hey, get in your car, start it off, and get out of my yard. Can't come to my yard no more. I got a fence. Lady, I'm sitting on the porch. Lady, come up there. Circle driveway. Hey, Rip! I haven't seen you for a long time. I just stopped by to holler at you. I called. I said, look, how come you get a fence up here? Shh. Woman drove up in the yard. Then one lady sent her little boy to the little boy, little girl. I forgot. Mama says she need a house note. She ain't a member of the church now. She need a house note paid. I said, go back and tell Mama the Reverend said he ain't gonna do it. I ain't seen her say. She said, she's crazy enough to come ask and say something like that and send that little child. I'm crazy enough to send her a crazy answer back. Tell her, that answer means don't you come back here no more with that craziness. Now, you think you're stupid, you know. Ephesians 2:10 now, the third one is, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good work. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, and I was talking, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Now just with this, I'm going to give you two more scriptures. In Philippians chapter 2, I think it's verse 12, it talks about, this is so important, class, working out your own salvation. Now, the problem is, class, you're listening.
Yes, sir.
The average Christian does not know the scope of salvation. They don't know the scope of salvation. So they think their salvation is already worked out when they get saved. But you keep working it because healing, all manifestation comes through deliverance. All that's your salvation. It's in there, but your partnership with God. Your ignorance is your worst nightmare. When you're not taught in the word and the enemy or the accuser attack you, you don't know what to do. See, your partnership with God be to you according to your faith. It's faith-based, and I've taught you tonight that there are different types of faith. And when your spirit open, whatever one you need, God's going to give it to you. I could have went on and on about Jesus. Jesus' ministry was a mixture of all of God. Now, he said, wherefore, my beloved, you have always obeyed, not as my presence only, but now in my absence, Paul said to him, work it out, your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, watch what he said in the next verse. Oh, my God. Look what he said in the next verse.
Yes, sir.
For this God was working in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, I'll just take you on and on. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Watch what it says here. God is so good. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what the next verse says. He'll do it if you let him. See, I want you to remember the word partnership. The Holy Spirit is called a partner. He's my partner. Wow, what a privilege God give me, the privilege to have the partnership of the Holy Spirit, which is him himself.
Yes, sir.
To help me in my infirmities and my weaknesses and my inabilities. See, Holy Spirit, what to do here? You know, I don't make the Holy Spirit my bellhop, but I can't lose nothing. I ask him, where is it? Every time. I mean it. I believe he made some of that stuff. Because he made me another key, another something I needed. I don't question it. I just take it because it's in the most unlikely place. But I say, all right, hallelujah. I got what I want. I ain't got time to be dissecting and bisecting what happened. I just thank the Lord, you know. But we're his workmanship created. Show me that verse, Ephesians 2:10 in the Amplified Bible. I think that's something I want to see there. Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship. We created in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life, which he prearranged for us. We his workmanship. But here's the key now. You listening?
Yes, sir.
That is not automatic. It must be accessed. It must be applied. It must be activated by faith from spending time with God. See? And then you can't look at this without looking at John 14:12. For the work I do, shall you do also. Greater works than these shall you do. Because I go in the Father. Because I go in the Father, mean I'm going to send the Holy Spirit and make you a better workman. I see y'all ain't taking no notes. What y'all do? Y'all two fellas there. You recording? What you recording to? Did y'all listen to it after? Oh, no, let y'all record nothing here. Y'all take notes after or what? No. Huh? You got some notes in there? You got notes in yours too? But y'all just sitting there looking at me like, you just sitting there, oh, his leg crawled, just looking. Take notes, boy, pay attention. You listening to that $1 million, millions of dollars. Maybe that'll get your attention. Number one under the workmanship, I want you to hear it. You are created for a significant task. Not task, significant task, special. Remember that. You know, I know Phil and these boys can think about it. They're always, the world system always trying to disqualify reverence. Now, Jesus said, in teaching, his best teaching, our job is to teach you that you're the salt of the earth. Wouldn't be for you. No, not Donald Trump, not Obama, nobody. Wouldn't be for you. God be done wipe this thing off the face of the earth. With all this perversion, men won't go to women, bathroom, talking about he feel like he a woman. Why would a man want to go to a woman's restroom? And law, they got law. They ride piggyback on the civil right. We were slaves, that's why we was fighting. I ain't want to go to no woman's bathroom. I just want to be freed. Let me be a man. I ain't. that ain't the same thing. But see, them laws, that's the way the laws are. You give it for one, you give it for another. So they say, just like we were black and wanted to be free, They're man, woman, they won't go to a woman's bathroom, so they use the same law. That's why we got a higher law. Mm-hmm. Now, if this thing don't straighten out, somebody gonna die. I can tell you that right now. Because I'm sprinkling it with salt, partner. I ain't got no time for this foolishness. Ain't no man going in no woman's restroom in year. I'll burn this song down. You ain't going there. Me and these boys gonna whoop your tail. That's all it took. Call the police. Catch your tail in a woman's bathroom. And then women come out and tell you in the bathroom, we're gonna whoop your tail. You getting out of here. You created for a significant task. You can't have that, man. And that task is Ephesians 3:10. Working out his plan. Give me Ephesians 3:10. I'm going to close in a minute. Ephesians 3:10. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God, working out his plan. I love when he talk about his unsearchable riches. I love when he talk about in 2 Peter 1, the exceeding greatness of his power, the promises. And then the unsearchable riches of Christ, then the manifold wisdom of God. See, we're working out his plan. So it's his plan. If I'm working out his plan, and it's been throughout my whole time of ministry, I always know I have divine backup. You're going to have that. If not, you're going to be called invalidated. See, people with good sense, just good sense, respect results. You just got good sense, you see results, you respect results. You got to have no revelation, just have some good sense. So creative with a significant task, class, working out his plan and becoming what he is making us to be. See, you're always becoming. You never arrive in this. After 43 years, I'm still becoming. Why? He's so vast. He's infinitum. There's no end to him. There's no level to him. He has no level. He has no end. You follow me? So, you can go as far you want to go and still have somewhere else to go. That's three. We'll do the rest. That's three we did tonight. There's, I told you, seven pictures of the church. We talked about the assembly, the body, and the workmanship. We have four more, and I'll touch them on next class. Then I these 12-step of maturing, I studied this, and I've been aiming to teach those 12 steps. Because when you see, when Ephesians 4:11, you talk about the fivefold ministry, then he gives those three things for the perfection of the saint. See, and I think they're chronological. See, when you talk about perfecting the saint, look at me, listen to me. A very powerful word here that I'm going to speak to you tonight is one word, maturing. This is an apostolic voice hollering in my ear that how swiftly we're going to have to mature ourselves and mature those who are under us. Get them in the maturity where they know how to defend themselves. They know why and how to wear this armor of God daily. See, they must know the difference between hope and faith. Because basically, hope is in your mind. Faith is in your heart. The helmet of salvation is to cover your hope. The shield of faith is to cover your heart. When he shoots them fiery darts, he's not shooting them so much at your mind. He's shooting at your heart. He might come through your mind to get you discouraged. Get you to ask a question, why me? My job is, no matter what comes, to fight the good fight of faith. And the reason it's called a good fight, it means that I'm going to win. Okay? So those three things, I want you to study those three things. Be ready with the points I gave you under them, because I need to test you on this. The body of Christ, the body. I might ask for scripture too. That's why I told them young men there, you better take some note. God first bring us to himself, 2 Corinthians 5:18. Leave all and follow him, Luke 18:22. I need you to look at these scriptures because I might ask a question about these scriptures. What's the context of it? My secretary listening, and she real accurate. Colossians 2:19, total commitment by, and going to ask these three things about commitment. What it going to take for you to leave this school, be committed to your church, and committed to your call? Obedient, what else? What else? All right, and the next one is Ephesians 2:10, the workmanship. What's the first point? No, none of y'all sounding right. What's the first point on the Ephesians 2:10? Under the workmanship. Huh? Say it again. Yes. You created. What's the next one? Working out who plan? All right. And what's the third one? What? Well, let's go back to the assembly. Ephesians 1:22. What's the first thing I said about the under the assembly? What scripture? What that mean? What that mean? What that mean? I can't hear you. Huh? Stand up. I can't hear you. Who talking? What you say?
The spiritual government is the highest government.
The what?
The spiritual government is the highest government.
Yes. Spiritual authority. Supernatural authority. Divine authority. Come on, class. You see it? Get those words. Overruling authority. An authority that does not have to submit to nobody. First Chronicle 29, 11 and 12. What's the second thing on the assembly? What? What? No, nobody. I don't hear nobody saying it. What's the second one? She's saying it. What'd you say? I'm talking to you. I'm talking to her. Respect for God's order. What's the next one? Not later. You can watch TV and you think Trump ruling. Or you think some of them senators, the representatives ruling. They're not ruling. They're regulating a little something. But it's the believer's authority that rule. Elijah and Baal prophets. He's Elijah, go ahead, call on your God. Y'all get y'all committed together. Do what y'all gonna do. I'm gonna sit over here and watch it. Then I'm gonna call on my God. See, you got to know that. If you don't dance when that music plays, we're gonna throw you into this line then, or throw you in this fire. Boys, get ready to throw me because I ain't dancing. But the God who I serve is able to deliver me even out the fire from it. That's the kind of bonus you have to have. See, you won't get far in ministry compromised. Because there's always going to be a challenger. They're going to challenge you at every level. It may come out your family. It may come from your best friend. But you're going to have to be willing to die to anything that is stopping you from doing what God said do. Powerful. Zion rule now. Now, Zion can't rule unless someone know how to function in Zion ruling. And so what you know about in Hebrews 12 there, And if you read that whole chapter, looking at Jesus, the defender of your faith, and lay aside the weight and sin that is beset you, then it said, we have an un... See, sometimes things are being shook off your life. But we have an unshakable kingdom. Unshakable king. Amen. And then the rod, the scepter, and the staff. And you know, ruling by prayer. Why do you think Satan wanted to take prayer out of school? Because perversion was ringing the doorbell. And perversion could not override prayer. When God talks about you partaking of his divine nature, he tells us some things to add to our faith. And he said, if these things be added, nothing can take you out. But he said that after he's talking about it, us being his partaker of his divine nature, he says we escape the corruption. Escape the perversion. We're living in a perverted hour that people or do anything. And it's not really people, it's people who are untrained and untamed. Anytime Satan come after you, he's not really after you, he's after God. So you got to let God answer him. What is it? Let God answer him. Let God answer him. He's not after you, he's after God. See, he's angry because God put his tail out. And he put him out for trying to be like God. He wanted to rule. He wanted to exalt himself. He came, and he, same old trick. The same reason he was kicked out, he got Eve kicked out. Saying, well, we tried with Jesus. Jesus said, I ain't falling for this. I ain't turning no stone into no bread. Get behind me, Satan. You follow me? So we as a people, let me try to close here, because I want you, it's so profound. When the Lord spoke to me, in essence, it was about 5-7 in the morning, we was off all ravine. I was laying in the bed. I wake about 5, sometimes 4:30, get on up. And all of a sudden, I thought it was a knife. Open vision, I wasn't sleeping. A knife was on fire right before my eye, sitting in midair. Then the Spirit said, look at it again. It was a knife. It was a flaming sword. Fire was blazing from it. And all I could do is think about Jeremiah. Jeremiah said, your word is shut up in my bone like fire. But then I think about the sword of the Spirit. We have to, as ministers, we have to start having a hammer, our hand on the hammer of the sword of the Spirit. We have to know we are spokesmen for God and that what we say always going to come to pass.
Yes, sir.
That's the divine privilege God has given us. Mm-hmm. Back to the point where I want to stamp it here. We have to regain the prophetic dignity. I'll tell you how we're going to do it. The respect and the honor. I'll tell you how we're going to do it. Prepare yourself. Live clean. Live holy. And the divine sparks going to flow from you. And those who do not want to respect you will have to bow. Because they become your enemy. And the Lord said, I'll make your enemy your footstool. As a breed, I believe that God is, we're over 88 churches now. As a breed, I believe God is rising up a remnant that going to begin to walk in the miracles and signs on daily basis, as the scripture have said. You can be a partaker of it, or you can be a regular person. Up to you. But Jesus said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. That's the one I'm going to feel. You're not going to just get your little cup and get your little drink like you had a fountain at McDonald's or something. You got to stay there and give God respect and reverence and cry out, God, I got to have more of you. You got to become unsatisfied with a few miracles. Huh? Huh? See? Now, you don't talk to me long until I go back to the Word. I laugh and joke all of a sudden. I'm in chapter 9. Most of my sons sit at the table with me. Two or three of my sons, I got three sons, sit on the table and eat with me. They know in a few minutes something will come out of my mouth. So they all put their phone on the table. I see them putting their phone on the table. They think I don't see them. And mama the same way. Mama put hers under the flower. I saw her slip their phone. And she asked me, can I use your phone? I said, where's your phone? I ain't asking that. I saw it. She had that red button on. When you get hungry, when you can't do without it, that's when you're going to begin to enjoy your life. You got time for other things? Are you following me? Give him his rightful place. Three scriptures. You ready? I'm just going to quote the first part because we're too busy on the other part. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. 663. Matthew 663. And you know what I left out. Right? But I'm just going to show you your part. John 15:7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, that's your part. Read the rest of it. You see what happened. We're on the wrong end. I think it's Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord. Do that. Then you see the last part. See. Sometimes we're too busy thinking about the last part. And it's the first part that activates the last part. Amen. Amen. Y'all study that, and we'll come back and we'll finish it. Amen? All right. God bless you. Have a nice evening. Whoever, I want all those, Darius, I want all those students to know that the dean says, the apostle says, he wants them to report in on the night we have in classes. If not, I won't know why. They're not going to listen to me anytime. I'm not going to let that happen. I don't know how I let that guy bother me so long. That's disrespect and dishonor. I'm not coming on at your convention. I'm not a movie show. And I really believe that as these instructors are teaching in their classes, and as I'm teaching, I believe that there's an anointing that you can't recapture if you were able to be there. You follow what I'm saying? I believe there's something you're not going to get if you are taking us as a pop and go. 7-Eleven. You see, class, you see what I'm saying? That I believe, just like you here, I believe those students online, which is 100 of them, they need to come to par, or I'm gonna put them out. Because I mean this to trans people. I don't have to have a number. I'll take 12 like Jesus did. People who give respect to me and my instructor, that is over. I want them Monday and Tuesday. There's Monday and Tuesday. I want them online. So if somewhere there, we got to text them, whatever we got to do, tell them the apostle is gone mad. And that's what he wants. Because I live a long time with men disrespecting me. And I lost some years of my life messing with them. I ain't losing no more. So I'll put your tail out. All right.